Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at QuickBooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Coming up on the show, we talk golf and the Masters with someone who's covered a ton of them, longtime sports journalist and author, Anne Liguori.
I interviewed 12 legends, and these are all recent interviews, 6 men and 6 women. And 5 of them are former Masters champions. And they all talk about what they brought from their iconic golf careers that they use in life day to day. So it's really life lessons, life wisdom, and all of this they learned from their iconic golf careers.
We'll also check in on the sports scene in the nation's capital after a big deal that could have brought the Wizards and Capitals to Virginia. That fell through. And we'll be speaking with Zach Leonsis of Monumental Sports and Entertainment.
You know, I think you have to look at what do elected officials ultimately think provides the best outcome for their constituents? There is some competition out there. I think the best partnerships are public-private ones, which is ultimately going to be, what our path forward is with Washington, D.C.
That is all straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. But first, we check in with longtime friend of the show, Bloomberg Originals chief correspondent, Jason Kelly.
Hello again.
His new show with Alex Rodriguez, The Deal, just dropped its latest episode with Redbird Capital founder and managing partner, Jerry Cardinale. They talk about his experience investing in sports and media, including the creation of the YES Network.
Let's take a listen to that portion of the conversation.
I mean, this was truly monetizing intellectual property at a time in the late 90s, early 2000s, when most investing in media and entertainment was around distribution. It was cable systems, it was outdoor billboards, radio stations, TV stations. No one really had ever invested in intellectual property. And today that would be just a no-brainer and everyone would get it. George Steinbrenner came calling, and he had just broken away from Cablevision and MSG. And the story he told was fascinating. And what he basically said was, I don't understand how I can be putting all the risk capital in to put these players on the field year in and year out to win a championship. And I just get paid a fee for the monetization of those games. And my counterparty gets the appreciation in a stock price. That doesn't seem fair to me. When he put it that way, I mean, you know, George was such a visionary. The light bulbs went off in our head, and we were like, wow, I never really thought about it that way. I think this was like February of 2001. And we started sort of looking at, well, could we create our own network? And to make a long story short, I was a 33-year-old vice president at the time, and I started building the model. I knew nothing about sports. I was from Philadelphia, so I only knew about the Phillies. I don't think I'd ever seen a Yankee game. By September, coming out of Labor Day, we basically had the outlines of what would become the YES Network. And we signed that deal and handshook on that September 10th, 2001.
Oh, wow. God.
Here now to take us through that conversation and more is Mr. Jason Kelly. Jason, welcome back to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Always good to be here with you, Barr and team. Yeah, this was a really, really fun one. I mean, in part because I think, like you guys, I love the behind the scenes stories. You know, I mean, Jerry has been this almost Zelig like figure throughout this intersection of business, sports, media, technology, entertainment through the years. And, you know, especially for the Yankee fans out there, I think the creation of the Yes Network was huge. But even just being in the room as he was so often and in such an important way with the boss, George Steinbrenner, and the Steinbrenner family, it's really cool to hear. And I dare say it's really cool to hear the two of them, Alex and Jerry, talk a lot about that.
Given how big the business of sports is now, he seems visionary. But at the time when he was at Goldman and then kind of moved away from that to go dabble in investing in sports, it seemed like kind of a crazy move.
It did seem a little bit, you know, maybe not outlandish, but certainly like, okay, like good for you, guy. Like, yeah, go do that. You know, and you sort of, you know, we talk a lot at Bloomberg about Goldman and the power of Goldman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think even some of the partners there were like, oh, yeah, that's the guy who does the sports stuff. And, you know, he does some stuff with the Yankees or whatever. But meanwhile, I think Jerry really was seeing a lot of what, to your point, Scar, is so apparent now, that the lens of sports, you know, just opens up, you know, all of these massive business opportunities. And it's just it's remarkable to see how he has, you know, literally and figuratively sort of leveraged that into what Redbird has become today.
Jason, I can see how you're a bit blinded by Jerry's role with the Yankees, George Steinbrenner. I mean, he formed Legends Entertainment, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But what I'd love to, I mean, were you able to speak to him about all the other people he's been involved with over the course of his career? I'm thinking NBC in the Middle East. I'm thinking Matt Damon,
yeah,
Ben Affleck, LeBron James. I mean, did he go into any of that?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and that's what is so interesting about him, Damian, is that, you know, the Yankees were something. Yankees, Goldman, you know, obviously were sort of a springboard. And that gave him a huge amount of credibility. I mean, one of the most incredible things I think he's been involved in, just because of the personalities involved, you alluded to, which is Legends. I mean, think about something that brings together Goldman Sachs, the New York Yankees, and the Dallas Cowboys. It's like, boom, into one thing. And, you know, that was based on a series of conversations that he had with none other than Jerry Jones. And obviously he had the Steinbrenner connection. You know, the other really interesting partner that Jerry has in my mind, or the partners, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Danny Garcia, who are his co-founders of, you know, what's now the UFL, but they resurrected the XFL, the third go-round of that. And sort of the ability to sort of see around the corner, see that there was still something there, and form it into something that, I mean, it is now the definitive, you know, spring gridiron football product. And to sort of put all that together is really interesting.
I want to go back to the Yes Network, because that is, to me, that's a beautiful creation that Jerry made. But is he concerned now because the landscape is changing about regional sports networks?
It's a great question. I mean, definitely concerned. And I think probably thinking about, you know, what's the next version of this, which, yeah. I mean, listen, if he figures that out, I mean, he's going to make another few billion dollars, obviously. It's a fascinating space for sure. You know, you have these regional sports networks that are, you know, kind of limping along, but you've got the different leagues, obviously. And you guys, I know, get into this a lot, you know, figuring out what their relationship should be there. I mean, baseball, I think, you know, to the underpinning of your question, Bar, has one of the, you know, trickiest relationships, yeah, because we're at this moment with baseball where it's not drawing a whole lot of new fans. It's really trying to hang on to, you know, a lot of people like us who really love the game. And so how do you get to those people? How do you get to them in a way that it's a product that they really want to consume?
Yeah. Also, baseball has, what, 162 games,
yes,
a season per team. So that's a lot of games that not everyone needs to watch versus, say, football, where it's any given Sunday,
right,
and the stakes are really high. Jerry Cardinal has been involved in so many big deals in the sports industry, in the business world. Just recap for us again what he has an ownership stake in right now.
Well, what's interesting right now is that he's clearly going all in on, you know, some of the big tier sports, especially European football. And what's interesting is he sort of has that in two ways. One is through Fenway Sports Group, of which Redbird is an investor, mm-hmm, you know, a significant investor. And they, of course, own the Boston Red Sox and the Pittsburgh Penguins, but importantly for this conversation, they own Liverpool FC. Mm-hmm. Now, he took some of that knowledge and leveraged that again into AC Milan, which is probably his biggest tier or sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of the highest profile ownership, I think, right now. AC Milan, the storied Italian soccer club. He actually bought it from Elliott Management. It's had, you know, as a lot of these clubs have, sort of a tortured business history. That, I think, is one of the most interesting ones. And that is also putting him in a really different category, putting Jerry and Redbird in a very different category in terms of sort of the echelon of the global sports
world. He's competing with Middle Eastern money.
Yes, exactly. Great point.
You know, Jason, I have to ask you, I mean, I have to go back. I didn't, you know, I forgot that he negotiated the rights to XFL. I think Vince McMahon, I mean, so think about it. I mean, Jerry's dealt with people like George Steinbrenner, Jerry Jones, Vince McMahon, Tom Cruise. I think he did Top Gun Maverick. I mean, these are not easy people to get along well with in the sandbox. You know, talk to me about how Jerry spends his time. I mean, is he doing deals with people like this? Is he pitching deals? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think it's all of the above. I mean, honestly, I mean, I think, and again, this goes to a very familiar and comfortable place for those of us, you know, who've worked at Bloomberg for a long time. You know, that training at Goldman Sachs as a deal maker, you know, you can't overlook the currency that that has and also the playbook that you develop in terms of being able to put together deals, put together complex deals, and to your point, Damian, you know, really corral massive egos, massive amounts of money. And so I think he is the very definition of a globe-trotting deal maker at this point. You know, you mentioned the association with Abu Dhabi. You know, clearly he's understanding, to your point earlier, Scarlett, sort of the importance of sovereign wealth funds in this, you know, kind of capital stack that is behind the global sports industry. And, you know, I think it's interesting too, Damian, you know, to that question, to think about the entertainment side of this too, because just think for a minute about The Rock, you know, I mean, Dwayne Johnson, you know, and all that he has done to pull together, you know, not just the sports side, given his background, but the entertainment side as well. You know, for those of us who pay attention to these things, Moana 2 coming out this fall.
You know, I'm sorry.
You didn't see that one coming, did you, Bar?
I didn't see that one at all. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Damian. Go ahead.
Michael, I was just going to say a lot of people forget that I started my career at Goldman Sachs also. Please continue.
There we go. Just name drop. Oh, I'm sorry. There's something in the studio. Oh, it's the name that Damian just dropped on the floor.
I was all set to brag about my bracket. I have 127 points in the men's NCAA bracket.
Yep.
And I think I'm like 400 somewhere out of 14,000, whatever.
All right. Mike.
That was the most humble
Michael
brag
Barr
ever.
He is in 27th place in the firm, which is saying something. Just outside of the top 100 globally, which is saying something more, but I mean, my goodness, you would have won Brackets for a Cause this year. Whitney Wolf Hurd, the Bumble founder and CEO, is currently in first. She has UConn beating Purdue. It's hers to lose. But right behind her, Joe Reese of Silverbox. I'll tell you this. If Purdue does win, Steve Pagliuca, owner of the Celtics, has an outside shot of winning the whole thing. So it's interesting.
Well, Steve Pagliuca, that would be huge, Damian, because he would be the first ever, not just repeat winner, he would be the first ever back-to-back winner. He won the men's bracket last year. So he has got a lot at stake. But you're right. He's the only one in the top 15 that has Purdue winning. I mean, it's a pretty bold call based on how things are trending right now.
Well, I was just looking at your bracket in the women's.
Yep.
And shoot, man, you got 133 points.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay on the on the women's side, and you know, on the Brackets for a Cause side of that equation, Don Cornwell, who I think a lot of you guys know, longtime banker in the sports world, now the co-founder of Dynasty Equity with Jonathan Nelson. He is currently tied for first with Peter Weinberg over at Perella Weinberg. A lot of people have South Carolina. Peter Weinberg actually has Connecticut winning. Javier Rodriguez, the DaVita CEO, he's actually the only person across all the brackets for a cause. And remember, this is a $1 million-plus charity tournament that Bloomberg puts on. Javier was the only one who got in either bracket a perfect Final Four. So he was the only one who called NC State, Carolina, South Carolina in that case, Iowa, and the UConn Huskies. So he's looking pretty good. He's got Iowa winning it all.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Well, now, wait a minute. Let me take that back. I can see Iowa winning it all, but South Carolina is tough.
I mean, an Iowa-South Carolina final would be epic. I mean, the semifinal is going to be epic, too. I mean, Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers. I mean, that's probably the best like player-to-player matchup. You know, maybe second only to Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, which we saw earlier this week. I mean, as you guys probably saw, 12 million plus people watch that game, blowing away the ratings and the viewership for last year's final on the women's side. To me, that is the story of this tournament this year, is just the exploding popularity of women's college basketball.
And to quote Lizzo, it's about damn time.
There you go. Man, Lizzo quote. I mean, there's just something for everybody here at the Bloomberg Business of Sports, isn't there?
Jason Kelly, thank you, my man. You old friend of the show.
Always good to see you guys.
Sometimes Michael Barr really surprises us with the contemporary references. You know? 1 minute will be Lizzo, then another minute will be Detroit Lions in the 70s, you know?
I'm old, and then I'll have a moment of that I'm
clarity.
Clarity.
By the way, check out Jason and Alex Rodriguez on The Deal. Don't miss the latest episode of The Deal. It is coming up with Redbird Capital founder and managing partner Jerry Cardinale. And by the way, a great show, Scarlett. I can't believe they've already have airing the sixth one already.
I know, but you know, you can watch this particular episode on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television. You can stream it Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Originals, but you can also find it wherever you get your podcasts as well, and that will be on demand.
Coming up, we turn to golf with a preview of the Masters. You're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
With the Masters coming up, we wanted to do a check-in on the state of golf and some of the big headlines with Anne Liguori.
She's covered over 20 Masters and dozens of other major tournaments and championships.
Plus, she has a new book out, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf.
And welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Hey, it's great to be joining you and looking forward to another Masters. Can't wait.
I have to give a personal disclosure here. My mother's family is from Augusta, Georgia, and they used to talk about the Masters all the time. I mean, this goes back to the old Bobby Jones days when they were talking about the Masters. And I always revered that place every time I had a chance to drive by it. Can you talk about, for people who have forgotten how important the Masters is, remind us, this is probably, for me, one of the biggest tournaments in my heart.
Well, absolutely. It is just so significant. And if you ask most of the guys who play it, you know, it's the first major on the men's calendar. And they probably will say it's the most important title to win, the most coveted title. It's just such a special place. Obviously, unlike the other majors, it's in the same location every year at Augusta National in Augusta, Georgia. And it's just so pristine and beautiful. There's so much rich history, as you mentioned, with Bobby Jones. And, you know, no blade of grass is out of place. It's probably the most coveted and most expensive badge or ticket to get in golf and most of sports. And, you know, it's just a very, very special place. Spring is in the air. The magnolias and azaleas are in full bloom. And it's just heaven on earth. What else can I say?
Well, Ann, I mean, give us a little bit more color there. I mean, you've covered, obviously, you know, I can't even imagine 25 Masters. I mean, I think you've played it even three times. I mean, you could tell us all about that. But, you know, when we're watching from television, I mean, you just can't get a real sense of just how difficult that course is, how, you know, the greens, everything that goes hand in hand. But, you know, my real question for you is, one Tiger Woods, you just arrived in Augusta a few days back. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, you've covered, I mean, the majority of his major titles. You know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, what expectations are for Tiger Woods. I think he's, what, 100, 130, maybe even 150 to 1 to win. But, I mean, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, him just making the cut.
Right. Well, obviously, I was there in 2019 with the biggest comeback story in sports, right, when Tiger won his fifth Masters title and his 15th major title, and that was so improbable based on all the injuries and back issues and controversy that basically dominated his life and all those years previous. But yeah, I mean, he knows that the course like the back of his hand, right? And he's going for, I believe it's 24th straight cut, which would be a record. And you can never say never with Tiger. I mean, he's only played, what, a round and a half, literally, not even that, this year, of official tournament play, the Genesis. And he pulled out of that because of the flu, but he had back spasms the first day, and that was in February. And we really haven't seen him in an official tournament since then. So it's pretty much, you know, up in the air as to how he will feel. And the big question is, you know, can he walk four straight days because of his, you know, body and the legs and the foot and all, you know, one injury after another, the back. And it's really more about, you know, how he can handle the elevation, because that's one thing when you see it on TV, you don't understand. It's hard to see the elevation, the all the slopes and all the heels that everybody walks when they're walking Augusta National. It's very hard to see it unless you're there in person. And it's a very strenuous walk. Mm-hmm. But look, Tiger, he lives for this championship. And he has great memories from 2019 when he won in front of his children and his mom. And, you know, as I said, it was such a great story, one for the ages, that you can never count him out. I mean, you know, does he have a chance to win? Certainly. Does he have a chance to make the cut and, you know, make another record? Absolutely. So it's always exciting when Tiger decides to play.
I find it funny that we're talking about sports and we're talking using words like strenuous walk when we're talking about sports, because golf is a different sport on its own compared to things like football or baseball or anything else. When it comes to Tiger Woods and his impact on the Masters and the sport itself, if he makes the cut but he doesn't do well, do we see interest drop off in the Masters completely from people outside the world of golf who basically equate Tiger Woods and golf together?
Right. I mean, Tiger certainly brought in so many fans to the game. You know, he's this universal athlete. And so everybody wants to pull for him. In fact, I can remember in 2019 when everybody saw, what, six players, their tee shots went into Race Creek, giving, you know, Tiger a little more opportunity back then on the 12th hole to perhaps go on and seek another championship. And he was the only one in, what, five or six players on number 12 that was able to keep that shot on the green. And back then we heard, they call them the galleries there at Augusta National, we heard spectators clapping when these balls went into the water, which never happens at Augusta National. They all were rooting for Tiger. So, yes, Tiger drives, you know, the sport, even
in his injured and state where he hasn't been able to play that much, people look to him to win. People who are marginal golf fans or aren't golf fans, you know, have followed him and his story, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I would assume if he, for some reason, does not make the cut, you know, the ratings might not be as high as Tiger contending for sure on a Sunday. But there's so many other storylines. You know, you have the LIV players who will be playing in the Masters.
Yes.
And we haven't seen much of Brooks Koepka. We haven't seen much of defending Masters champion John Rahm because they're in LIV. But, you know, Brooks, he loves major championships. He's always on a mission at the majors. He has a very good shot of winning, and John Rahm has a very good shot of defending his title. There's so many great storylines in addition to Tiger that I think most golf fans hang in there to the very end.
Yeah, you served up the question I was going to ask, because now you got the LIV golf players, you've got the PGA players, they are together. And it's almost like, have at it, boys, because this is going to be one whale of a tournament. And to me, I think that this is one of the reasons why the audience, the eyeballs, TV-wise, I would not be surprised if it's one of the highest rated ever.
Right, because all the controversy that the PGA Tour versus LIV, you know, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, all that controversy, all those storylines, obviously, leading up to this Masters. And, you know, you don't get to see the very, very best players in the game anymore week in and week out because so many of these top players are playing with LIV. So now at the Masters, you're going to see these guys. You're going to see, you know, DeChambeau. You're going to see Patrick Reed, who won a Masters title. You're going to see, obviously, Brooks Koepka and John Rahm and Cameron Smith. So these guys can play. Unfortunately, we don't see them enough. Not that many eyeballs on LIV as of yet. So we wonder what kind of form, what kind of shape they're in.
That's
coming
right
into, you know, the Masters. But look, they want to win this as badly as everybody else. So you know it's going to be exciting the entire 4 days.
Well, Ann, let's just talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, your recent book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. I mean, you interview the great Gary Player, who actually talks about staying in shape, right? I mean, you mentioned Tiger Woods early. You mentioned these LIV golfers, and are they going to be able to live up to, you know, kind of the standards they have in the past? I mean, they're not on the PGA anymore. I mean, I don't know what goes on out there in LIV land, but, you know, I mean, who knows what kind of shape they're in, both mentally and physically. Talk to us about the book. Talk to us about Jack Nicklaus, some of the people you interviewed, Annika Sorenstam. What were the takeaways for you? I mean, what a great book. It looks like you had some really awesome interviews.
I have to say, I'm so excited about this book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. I interviewed 12 legends, and these are all recent interviews, 6 men and 6 women. And 5 of them are former Masters champions. And they all talk about what they brought from their iconic golf careers that they use in life day to day. So it's really life lessons, life wisdom, and all of this they learned from their iconic golf careers. And so you have Jack Nicklaus talking about the importance of integrity and sportsmanship and putting family first. And, you know, he's the first one to tell you that, yes, he made a couple of 4-foot putts, which made his life, basically. But he certainly believes that being a father really came ahead of chasing a trophy, you know, with 5 children, 22 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren. So he talks a lot about, you know, his Masters history and about his career. But the dominant theme, every chapter has a dominant theme, and each chapter is devoted to one of these 12 legends. And so Nicklaus certainly is, you know, what a role model he's been all these years. And as you mentioned, Gary Player, 88 years young, he talks about pursuing one's passion. And boy, who best to talk about that than Gary Player? He plays golf every day. He works out every day. A couple years ago, I was doing sit-ups and push-ups with him for a TV show. And he was going strong. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. There's just, you know, so many messages that one can learn from golf. It's one of these sports that's really a microcosm of life. And you bring so many lessons to life from the golf course.
I love these
personalities are, I picked them because A, they're all Hall of Famers. B, they're a little older so they can look back. And they have wisdom to share and so many great stories. Padraig Harrington,
he's in the book. He's still competing on both the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour Champions. And he says he has fear, not just nerves, every time he tees it up. So he talks about embracing that fear. So I think everybody, whether you're a golfer or not, will enjoy the themes in this book.
Yeah.
And I wanted it because of all the divisiveness in our sport, you know, in golf, in society. I really wanted this to be uplifting and very inspirational. And all these legends were all of that. And I'm just so grateful that they gave me the time. And they all really wanted to be included in this book. So I'm excited about it.
Well, Scarlett, I think Anne just got a little tired of interviewing the likes of Kevin Costner, Sylvester Stallone, Matthew McConaughey, Joe Pesci, all of whom she interviewed in her first book. So, you know, I guess, you know, this is, you know, a close second to that.
Anne Liguori, you are so kind for joining us. Thank you so much. By the way, check out her new book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. Also founder and president of the Anne Liguori Foundation, which raises money for cancer research and care through charity golf events and more. Anne, thanks again for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
My pleasure. Enjoy the Masters and hit them straight when you get out there to play.
Up next, the Washington Wizards and the Washington Capitals look like they're staying put in D.C. We'll talk with Zach Leonsis, president of media and new enterprises with Monumental Sports and Entertainment. You're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. The Wizards and the Capitals are staying put in D.C.
Now, there were some plans to move those teams from the district into a $2 billion sports and entertainment complex in Virginia, but those proposed plans fell through.
Here to take us through where things stand now for those clubs and more is Zach Leonsis. He is president of media and new enterprises at Monumental Sports and Entertainment, which owns the Capitals, the Wizards, the Mystics, as well as the Capital One Arena in D.C. Zach, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you all having me on the show.
Well, let's start from the beginning that they are going to stay in D.C., and I guess this happened because Muriel Bowser, mayor of D.C., finally, she said it when this happened that, no, you guys aren't going to leave. And it turns out that she was right.
Well, the world really changed over the course of the last 3.5 months. I think that, you know, when my father began this process, he was really hopeful for a true partnership between our organization and a local jurisdiction. And the engagement that we sought from D.C. ultimately emerged as time moved on. This wasn't just about an investment in rehabilitating and transforming Capital One Arena for the future. It was about developing a real plan to revitalize the entire downtown region of our great city. And, you know, over the last 3 months, DC City Council and the mayor have worked hand in glove to pass a $400 million Downtown Revitalization Act, a significant bill to address crime in our city. They've made commitments to us as an organization to work on traffic mitigation, to help us secure a couple hundred thousand square feet of additional space in a vacant mall next door to us called Gallery Place. They've committed to increase public safety measures around our building and a variety of additional outcomes, which obviously we think really improve the everyday fan experience, but are also the right thing for the downtown neighborhood. Capital One Arena and its previous name, MCI Center, Verizon Center, was a huge catalyst for the revitalization of downtown Washington, D.C. The city took a little bit of a step back during the pandemic and has had a harder time rebounding from it. Meanwhile, our business has rebounded in a significant way. We had 3 million people through our turnstiles in 2022 and still are showing very, very strong performances. We are very excited about becoming a key ingredient in the next renaissance for downtown Washington, D.C., and delivering our fans a really world-class experience.
Well, Zach, I really do want to ask you about the business, but before I do, I have to congratulate you on that win over Giannis and the Bucks. Well done, Washington Wizards victory. I know it's not your year there, but let's shift gears and talk to about a team whose year it just well may be, and that's the Washington Capitals, right? I mean, I think right now Vegas has them as a 55% probability to make the playoffs. They're holding on there, even though they lost a few. Talk to us a little bit about what your plans are for those teams, how those franchises are shaping up, and as we move into the NHL playoffs, just how excited are we?
Well, I mean, our goal is to build teams via the draft and through player development that can develop long-term windows where they can compete for a championship. We did that with the Capitals. The Capitals, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we've made the playoffs 13 out of the last 15 years.
Ovechkin.
We had a great core of players led by Alex Ovechkin and players like Nick Backstrom and John Carlson and several others who defined a great winning era of Capitals hockey. And that core is aging. It's no secret. We're getting a new influx of young players who we've drafted and developed, and we're now really hoarding picks in the future to get ready for a little reboot and the next era of Capitals hockey. But, you know, our new coach, Spencer Carberry, has gotten tremendous buy-in from our veteran core players and has given our younger players, this new generation of player, a lot of confidence to go out and play and succeed. And the team is playing with a great sense of togetherness. And we are incredibly proud of what the team is doing on the ice. We dropped one last night in Buffalo, but I think we feel good about our chances, and the team really wants it, and the team is really unified.
We don't talk about that. We're not talking about the Red Wings, Michael. I promise. We're not talking about the Red Wings.
They had a great era of hockey, obviously. I mean, they were perennial playoff contenders for, you know, 2 decades. You know, on the Wizards side, we are clearly entering a full rebuild, and Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, our new management for the team, have declared their major. They deconstructed the team, and they are coveting draft picks and young players and player development. And so we've got to judge ourselves on different metrics this year and the next season or two after that. Obviously, we'll hope for a good result in the draft lottery, and we'll look to add core players to our team via the draft over the next, say, 3 seasons or so. And we want to emulate the models that have been followed by teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder, an organization where Will came from and Michael spent some time with as well. We think we've got all the tools to be successful. We're going to be patient, and we're going to do this the right way.
Zach, you mentioned the NBA and the Wizards, of course. We know that the NBA is in discussions right now with Disney, ESPN, and Warner Brothers Discovery about their exclusive negotiating rights for the media rights for the next couple of years. And that goes until April 22nd. After that, kind of opens up to other potential broadcasters or streamers in this case. How are you thinking through what the next round of media rights should look like, given that we're in 2024 and so many people have cut the cord, and the younger audience that NBA teams like the Wizards want to reach are comfortable watching games on their phones, on their iPads?
Well, I want to be conscious of not speaking on the NBA, the league's behalf, but
sure.
I think that teams are certainly enthused by the quality of partners that exist out there and who have great interest in NBA Live, national, and frankly, increasingly global rights. You know, like you mentioned, we've had great linear partners in Disney, ESPN, and Warner Brothers Discovery, Turner. And, you know, linear is always going to be an important component of our distribution strategy on a national level and a local level. There's still, you know, nearly 60 million cable and satellite households. Everyone talks about the demise of cable. It's still very, very important to our yep. distribution and accessibility for our fan base. But you're right. Younger customers clearly are subscribing to different services. And, you know, depending on the numbers that you read about or believe, you know, Amazon Prime, for example, might have over 100 million subscribers. And so these new technology companies offer great opportunities to potentially add a streaming distribution partner in the future. And, you know, I think these rights are increasingly global. I'm sure the league has a lot to think about. I'm sure digital will be an important component
right.
of whatever partnership comes forward.
Zach, you're president of media and new enterprises at Monumental Sports and Entertainment. Your portfolio includes, as I mentioned, the Washington Capitals, the Wizards. It also includes the Mystics from the WNBA. And has any sport, done a better job of branding and marketing than what we're seeing right this minute in college women's basketball? I mean, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. I mean, I know that the Mystics have the number 6 pick in this year's draft, and some of those players might be gone by then, but talk to us about your plans for women's basketball. I mean, how does that fit into your portfolio?
Well, all of women's sports seem to be ascendant. I mean, you certainly read a lot about franchise valuations in the NWSL and the growth of women's soccer, too. It is really rising alongside women's basketball. And, you know, we've been invested in the WNBA for nearly 20 years now. And we've been vocal advocates of the league. We were very involved with Commissioner Engelbert in the league-wide financing that occurred in 2022. We raised $75 million at a $400 million pre from some great blue-chip investors that allowed the league to build its own commissioner's office and sales infrastructure, which has helped lead to expansion team opportunities. And, you know, we're certainly hopeful for a great media deal for the W in the future as well. Mm. And so we see a lot of upside in women's sports. Our team, the Washington Mystics, won a championship in 2019, which we're very proud of. We treat the Mystics with the same level of care that we do the Wizards or the Capitals. And so we'll continue to invest. We're invested through our team, through the Wizards' stake in the WNBA. The NBA owns a significant piece of the WNBA. And then we participate in that third-party capital raise ourselves. So, you know, we're very proud to put our money where our mouth is there.
Zach, we started our conversation with talking about how the Wizards and the Capitals are staying put in Washington. Earlier this week, we heard about how voters in the Kansas City area rejected the extension of a sales tax to fund stadium projects for the Chiefs and the Royals. You had 58% of voters denying the proposal, knowing that it raises the risk that the teams might leave the city. From where you sit, what is the lesson for sports franchises? What does it say about taxpayers' willingness to fund pro sports stadiums in the U.S.?
Well, I'm not as familiar with the details in Kansas City. I think that there's a lot written about our investments in sports arenas, a good thing or a bad thing. And, I think you have to look at what do elected officials ultimately think provides the best outcome for their constituents. There is some competition out there. I think the best partnerships are public-private ones, which is ultimately going to be, what our path forward is with Washington, D.C. We, too, will be putting up a significant amount of money, hundreds of millions of dollars, on top of the $200 million that we've invested back into our arena over the last 10 years. And so there's no doubt that arenas and stadiums, if positioned in the right neighborhoods, can be catalytic to draw an audience. And, you know, we're one of the top drop-off and pickup destinations for Uber in the entire Mid-Atlantic. We've got the third busiest metro station located under our arena. We regularly get 13 million or more people walking around our building annually. And like I mentioned, we get up to 3 million people going through our turnstiles. And that activates a lot of economic activity around our building before, during, and after games. And, you know, there is a power to that.
Zach, really appreciate your joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Zach Leonsis, President of Media and New Enterprises at Monumental Sports and Entertainment.
Thanks for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. And we're here each and every week at the same time. For my colleagues Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer, I'm Michael Barr. Tune in again next week for the latest on the stories moving big money in the world of sports. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.